Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined by the legendary author, Jilly Cooper.
She was great.
She has a new book out, 86 years young she is, new book out called Tackle, set in the world of football.
She called me a young man.
She did, young man.
Young man.
That's right, it was young man. So, she was on great form, so we'll bring you that. Andy Zaltzman joined us.
Yeah.
Cricket statistician, comedian. We look back on Glenn Maxwell's incredible score yesterday and a winning victory for Australia against Afghanistan against all odds. And we had a bit of a chat and we had Mastermind where Andy took on quite a tough specialist subject. So that should do you. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. Yeah. And we're going to talk about Stokes, not Stokes, Maxwell.
Glenn Maxwell.
His Stokes-like innings. But I did think, in the style of the theatre announcements, the part of Jack Leach will be played today by Mr. Pat Cummings.
Yes.
It was exactly that role. It was very similar, wasn't it? Stokes was sort of injured and hobbling, and so was Maxwell and Cummings.
I mean, Cummings is a better batsman than Jack Leach.
He is, but you don't normally eat up that many balls in a one-day game.
I mean, if all you saw was the headline, folks, Andy Zaltzman's going to join us later, a man who pours over the stats, of course, professionally, apart from being a very funny comedian. But when you look at the sort of story around what Maxwell did yesterday, we left here, myself and Charlie, just loving the fact that Australia are going to get
so angry
absolutely
they got back
clumped. And Sam Allard was keeping us updated. Yeah. They didn't have a prayer when he went in. It
amazing.
Was just... I mean, Pat Cummins got 12 in a partnership of 202. That is something
incredible.
Else. So anyway, we'll chat about that with Andy a little bit later on, put that knock into the context.
I was thinking. Oh, go on, sorry.
No, that's all right, Andy. Okay. I just, you saw the news today. I know you're very up on Chelsea at the moment, but did you see that Frank Lampard could have got you Jude Bellingham for £20 million quid?
Yeah, thanks.
But they wouldn't clear it upstairs.
Brilliant.
The lot now, they would have cleared it upstairs. In 2019, they weren't prepared to spend that much on a youngster.
They weren't the men from Decca who turned down the Beatles, were they? Yeah. It's the same thing, isn't it? For goodness sake.
Young players, there is that fear. I mean, to get in early on a young player, even if they're exceptional, even like when David Pleat went to Daniel Levy and said, I've seen this lad at MK Dons. He's brilliant. You've got to snap him up, you know, this lad Dele Alli. And apparently Daniel Levy said, well, I'll look into it. And he said, you do realise they want £5 million, don't you?
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, but pay it, Daniel. Pay it.
Yeah, and he was right, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to take a risk. I mean, sometimes you take a risk on an established player, it doesn't work out.
Mm.
I think it's all very well for Mikel Arteta to blame VAR for mistakes. I'd say it's not as big a mistake as spending £65 million on Havertz. Personally.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, quite possibly. We could be playing striker tonight, so we'll find out. Because he could be playing up front.
Yeah, well, that won't be any good.
Because Eddie Nketiah's got a knock.
I'd cancelled Joe Root's contract for that shot he played this morning. It was one of the worst shots I've ever seen. Yeah. Really terrible.
Would you do that? You'd have a kind of scorched earth take on management, wouldn't you? Like, you want football prison. You want to cancel a contract based on one shot. You're quite old school. I'll tell you who's old school. Jilly Cooper. The novelist, the writer of racy novels for many decades. About 4 years ago, we heard with some sort of diary piece saying she's going to write a football book. Apparently, it was a bit of lunch with Sir Alex Ferguson, made her feel there was enough in the world of football for her to turn. I mean, she'd worked like equestrian stuff. Riders was a big book, of course. Rivals, all of her books over the years. She's now 86 years young. She's popping in to see us later on. Her new book is called Tackle. Now, yes, if you want to score, you've got to be a player. It's not Jonathan Wilson-like. There's no inverting the pyramid about it, although she does take on some tactical nuances and talks about, you know, playing too many games in a week. So she takes on, but the list of characters, Andy and I have really been enjoying the list of characters. They're absolutely fantastic. Of course, if you're a Gilly Cooper fan, you'll want to see that Rupert Campbell Black is in there. And he is the anti-hero of many of her, but all of her books. He's bought a football club.
He's appeared before, Rupert.
Oh, Rupert, yeah.
Rupert Bell Clark.
No, not Rupert. He should be called Rupert Bell, shouldn't he? Rupert Bell Black. Definitely. Well, he's basically Rupert Bell, really, in all but names. You must have met him. But the club are called Searston Rovers, the team that Rupert Campbell Black buys and takes all the way to the top of the table. Searston, Searston. And it's quite difficult to come up with a fictional football club name and pull it off, isn't it, really?
We were trying to think. We were thinking there was Melchester for Roy the Rovers, Harchester for Dream Team.
You need Fulchester
for Billy the Fish.
Billy the Fish. You do need a Chester in there, clearly. But we just wondered if... I don't mean necessarily the funny dream team names that you've come up with, but do you think you could come up with a name this afternoon?
Fictional name.
A fictional name of a football club that you think really gets it right. I remember one in a comic. I can't remember what it was, but there was a team there... And they called them Everpool. And I thought, you're not even trying, are you? You're not even trying. So if you think you can come up with a very, very good fictional football name, not necessarily a funny one, but one that we go, oh, yeah, I could definitely see them playing. Maybe we'll put a bit of a draw to. We'll have a cup draw of the best of them later on in the show. So talksport.com/H&J, text to 81089 or tweet to TSHNJ, TSHANDJ, or 03717223344.
Talking of Everton, Shakhtar have got a player called Neverton. He's refused to go to Goodison. Never Everton, I think.
Yes.
And also, talking of posh people, AC Milan have got a midfielder called Reinders. That's King Charles's favourite sport. Do you fancy a game of Reinders?
Reinders.
Reinders.
Yeah, that's a sensational name, isn't it?
It was good. What else have I got here? Oh, Newcastle, they're in trouble, aren't they now? They've got
it's looking a bit tough. They're it's going to be quite difficult, isn't it? A poor old Joel Linton did feel for him last night. I mean, it was pretty easy chance, wasn't it?
Really.
But, yeah.
There you go. Swapping shirts at half time.
Yeah.
Blimey. That is bad.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
Why don't you just ask for his autograph and a selfie and hold up a cardboard sign saying, can I have your shirt, please, Haaland? Yeah. Brilliant, isn't it?
Rupert Bell's been in touch. I've met Gilly and she told me what an attractive young man I was. Take it was a long time ago. So there we are. Well, she obviously based all those books on you, Rupert. The caddish character that he is.
Absolutely.
So, Gilly Cooper's in a little bit later on. We're very much looking forward to that. And there's a character in there whose first name is Feral. F-E-R-A-L.
There are 92 characters
90.
In this book.
Yeah, you've
think.
Really got to keep
I
up.
I counted them all.
But, you know, if you like Gilly Cooper, it's just a lot of fun. Feral Jackson, young lad, a bit insecure. But anyway, they're all in there, the posh, the feral. And we'll tell you more about that later on when she joins us in the studio.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
I can't believe it. You're gutted about that Caramac news.
The Caramac?
I mean,
as a kid growing up, it was a real favourite of mine. They've become fairly elusive these days, of course, but I was a massive, massive fan. As I said, I had pretty cheap taste, and I wasn't buying the £10 bars of Belgian stuff that you
neither
buy.
Neither was I when I was a child, to be fair.
God, blimey, fancy stopping that. We will march on Nestle with lit torches. Crackers makes the point that if Reinders... earlier on, was to join the Norwegian club Randers, it would sound like Prince Charles and Danny Dyer saying Rounders. It's a very good point, Crackers.
Randers, not going to play Randers.
Randers. We'll play Randers or Reinders. Yeah, sounds like a good idea. Thank you for that. So, 22 for 2 are the Netherlands at the moment. They are chasing 340 to beat England. And a very good knock today by Ben Stokes. It was good to see that. But yesterday, I say, we left the studio at 4 o'clock. slightly concerned that Glenn Maxwell had his eye in, but not thinking for a moment that he could see Australia home against Afghanistan, because certainly earlier on in the day, they didn't have a prayer. But he scored an unbeaten 201, faced 128 balls, 21 of them for four, 10 for six. But there's so much more to the story.
Harsha Bogle said it was the greatest one-day innings ever, and that wasn't even by an Indian player, so it must have been.
Well, is it statistically, is it subjectively? It's asked a man who watches a lot of cricket and compiles a lot of cricket stats, comedian Andy Zaltzman. Hey, Andy.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. You were watching that all unfold yesterday as well. So where does it, what does it rank with you?
Well, it's pretty high. It's always hard to judge across different eras. But in terms of the context of the game with Australia, well, in trouble when he came into the crease at 49 for four, and then an even bigger trouble at 91 for seven, still needing 201 to win. It's... to play that innings in that context, I think it makes it hard to beat, particularly in a World Cup game. I guess said against that side, it was Australia. It wasn't a must-win game for them. It was a would-like-to-win game. They still had another chance to make the semi-finals if they'd lost that game. But even so, it was a an important game in a World Cup and in a position from which no team had ever won before, needing that many with only four wickets left. So it was truly extraordinary. Sort of other innings that might be up there in terms of World Cups, 1983, Kapil Dev, India's captain, made 175 not out in Tunbridge Wells. Imagine a World Cup game in Tunbridge Wells.
You were there, weren't you? I read your tweet. That was your first game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the first game of cricket I ever went to. I grew up in Tunbridge Wells. So not every game has been quite as dramatic as that. India were 9 for 4 when Kapil Dev came in, then 17 for 5. And he set a new record for highest one-day international score. That turned India's campaign around. They'd won two, lost two before that game. If they'd lost that one, they'd have had they'd been in a difficult situation having to beat Australia. And run rate would have come into play off after that in their final game. So it's turned their World Cup around. Then they won the final against West Indies. And that sort of sparked a one-day boom in India from which the rest of cricket history has spun out to what it is today. So I think that's up there. Viv Richards' famous innings in 1984 against England, 189. And as a number of people have pointed out, the fielding restrictions were a bit different then, so you could protect boundaries more. And he put on over 100 for the for the 10th wicket with Michael Holding. But I think Maxwell's innings is certainly up there and quite possibly the best in terms of what it did to the game and the situation it was in, and also in a second innings chase. Those other two innings were batting first, and there's I guess a different pressure when you are chasing a target. So yeah, it was absolutely extraordinary, plus the context of him being unfit for large parts of the latter part of the innings with cramps. So it was incredibly dramatic. It was against an Afghanistan side that had been bowling well and was on a real run of form. So it was truly extraordinary.
You have to kind of put that context on it, don't you say? So he cramped up really badly in the heat. He could barely run. It's a bizarre running style when he did actually run. He couldn't really move his feet to bat, so everything was upper body strength as he was crashing these balls to the boundary.
Must have been great eye,
mustn't he? Absolutely.
Well, what he'd essentially become at that point was a village cricketer, albeit one with an about above village level eyesight.
Yeah.
So waddling up and down the pitch, not moving his feet, just having a hopeful swing, 201 not out in a World Cup game.
He put down twice. He was out LBW and just reviewed it as a punt, not thinking he had much of a chance. And he stayed. I mean, he had a few lives. But as Andy said, if you're going to get a knock like that in those circumstances, you need a bit of luck, don't you?
Absolutely. And you think of some of the sort of great innings of English, recent English cricket, and a lot of Ben Stokes's masterpieces have had huge lashings of luck, whether it's that's the Headingley Test in 2019 or the World Cup final. That same summer. That's just part of cricket. And I guess, had he been caught as he should have been, no one would have talked about it. It would just have been an incredible win for Afghanistan that would have put them in a very good place to make the semi-final. But such is the game. But most sporting events have some element of luck involved. No one had previously made more than 130 in a successful chase, batting at number six or lower in a one-day international chase. Successful one international chase. No one batting at five or lower had ever scored over 150. No one had scored a double hundred in the second innings of a one-day international. Even in tests, in a fourth innings chase, a final innings chase. No one had ever made 150 batting at six or lower. So for Maxwell to make 200 batting at six in an international chase was completely unprecedented.
Good stats, but we'd expect that. it shows also where Afghan cricket is, you know, and they really have come on a lot. And I know Stokes' innings was in a test match, but as you say, there are a lot of things that are in common. He was also physically struggling. And Jack Leach and
Pat Cummins,
you know, pretty similar sort of knocks.
Yeah, 12.
Actually, Cummins scored quite a lot compared to Leach.
I mean, it's lowest, but I mean, I think we got this at your fingertips, because it, but 12 runs for Cummings in a 202 partnership. So is that the lowest in a partnership?
I don't have that to hand, right, but I'm going to take a guess and say yes. Certainly in a one-day international.
Yeah, definitely.
You would think so, wouldn't you? Yeah. It was good to see Stokes get some runs today. What did you make? I take it you've been keeping an eye on that, Andy. What do you make of his performance?
Well, I mean, we saw this in the last World Cup. England had a few hiccups during the group stage and then were really peaking by the end of the group stage. So maybe they're doing that again this time. You've got to be at your best at the business end of a tournament. It's been such a strange tournament for England. I mean, Stokes, there's been a lot of talk about Stokes coming in rusty and without any one-day cricket behind him. He got 182 at the Oval against New Zealand just before the World Cup. Then he had that injury. So it's just one of these bizarre facets of England's World Cup that sort of everything has gone wrong simultaneously. Stokes had done okay up until this game, played a good innings today. Again, we've had a couple of chances. But that middle order, a number of things have gone wrong for England, and particularly Bairstow, Root and Butler collectively have had amongst the worst runs of any England batters in World Cups. And their last six innings, so the last six games, the five England have lost and today, Butler's made 48 runs, Root 57, Bairstow 71. In terms of six-inning sequences for top seven England players in World Cups, they are three of the worst four. Michael Vaughan had a 59-run sequence in six innings in 2007. So that puts it in context. Three hugely experienced players, absolute cores of that team that won the World Cup in 2019 and had played so brilliantly for the years before that, all having historically bad runs of form. England's numbers 5, 6, and 7 in this World Cup collectively averaging 13.2. That's Moti, Butler, Moeen, Brooke, and Livingston. That's the second worst such figure for a Test nation in any World Cup tournament. And in the West Indies in 1996, had a worse record than England. So that sort of puts in context quite how extreme this failure for England's batting in particular has been, and for it to be players who had such good records both in the last World Cup and broadly in one-day international cricket, it's really extraordinary.
I suppose if you're going to be really bad.
Yeah, but it's worrying with the Test series coming up in India, but it's sort of inexplicable because they've all played in the IPL, and Brooke and Livingston, I can't believe their form's dropped off a cliff, hasn't it? It's really strange. It's hard to put your finger on what exactly has gone wrong.
Very strange.
It really is, and I guess that's one of the fascinations of cricket, that your what you do is as an individual, when you're batting or bowling, it's not like you're completely dependent on your teammates for each action that you do, and yet form and confidence is sort of can often be viral within a team, and you've almost seen England sort of individually, collectively sort of lose that confidence simultaneously. So once they made that bad start against New Zealand, and then after win against Bangladesh, then to lose against Afghanistan, so at that point that any sort of shell of confidence they had just sort of cracked open, and they've been unable to put it back together in time.
Andy, what are you up to comedy wise at the moment?
Just doing the Bugle podcast every week. We're now into our 17th year.
Wow.
We're heading towards a sixth of a century of podcasting on the Bugle. So that seems like quite a lot, to be honest. And then I've got, there's some live Bugle shows early next year, and I'll be doing a stand-up tour at the end of 2024.
Brilliant. Cheers, Andy. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks for having me. Cheers.
Take care. That's Andy Zaltzman there, cricket statistician, comedian and podcaster.
Talking of live podcast, I see View from the Lane, Danny Kelly.
They're
doing a live show, aren't they? It's very popular, isn't it? All this.
Yeah, it's good. Doing live shows off your podcast. Yeah, that's right. The guys are doing one. That should be a good night, I'm sure.
Clips of the Week live.
Clips of the Week. Sit there and listen to clips. Yeah, not sure there's a market for that. We asked you to come up with fictional football club names that we could believe.
Okay.
One or two have got it. Melstead Athletic. You could. That's one that could feature in a comic from Charlie in Suffolk.
Possible, yeah.
Cranford United.
Sounds good.
Not bad. Brinkton Wanderers. These all sound like could definitely be teams that Melchester played, Charlie. Well done. The one who hasn't really got it is John, the Chelsea fan, who's gone Ivory Toast FC. So we're not buying that, John. No one's going to call
Ivory
themselves
Toast.
Ivory Toast. Ladchester City, says Lee the Courier. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure, Lee. I'm sorry. Carston Athletic, says Andy in the Black Country. Don't know why, but I use it all the time. In
Does
what
he?
Context? Oh, well, I did have a spell with Carston Athletic. You any good? I had a spell with Carston Athletic. People aren't going to question it if they're not football fans,
are
they?
That's true, actually.
Anyway, we're only asking you this because Searston Rovers are the team that Jilly Cooper's invented for her new book set in the world of football called Tackle, and she's coming in to chat to us about it later on. So if you think you can come up with one that will... make everybody go, oh, yeah, I could definitely see them playing. Unlike James, the Liverpool fan in Dover, has gone, Hawksby Town Rovers. That's a bit root one, isn't it, James?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Believe it or not, that gives you a clue to Andy's specialist mastermind
worry,
subject.
I didn't know that was.
Coming up shortly. That is the subject.
I thought I had to go a bit more modern.
I think it was right, yeah. I think it was only right that you did something. I've been done, wasn't it, Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah.
Anyway,
I was going with Rumpole of the Bailey, but
yeah,
I
think you've got to be down with the kids, down with the demographic.
Really, I think
so, questions coming up on that band. If you're not sure they are, stay tuned. Andy, you watch Mastermind every week.
I do, I love
it. You are slightly obsessed, weirdly obsessed, I'm sure that's why Clive won't come into the studio because he thinks you're a bit weird. But you're obsessed with the long-form explanations he gives for every specialist subject.
I am, really, but, because... The thing is, for example, this one. Sir Isaac Newton was the specialist subject. Sir Isaac Newton. Yes, the life and work of the celebrated English scientist and theologian. I thought, well, that's fine. That's all you
good.
Need.
That's nice
it?
And short, yeah.
Noted for the pioneering discoveries of gravity, light and... Something I can't read my own writing. Mathematics.
Oh, okay. It's good to hear.
So not New Hampshire resident apprentice plumber Isaac Newton.
You found an Isaac Newton who's a plumber?
Yeah.
Really?
I did.
I think you got an apple in your ewe, Ben. How did that get there? That'd be fantastic. I'll go and get me rods. Yeah.
Mary Queen of Scots.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, the daughter of...
Well, if you found a plumber called Mary Queen of Scots...
No, but I've got something.
Okay.
The daughter of King James, the 5th of Scotland, and the French noblewoman, Mary of Guise. All right, Guise?
All right, Guise. Yeah.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Billy Bragg, the life and works of the English singer...
Oh, hang on. So you did you find anybody?
There's no plumbers.
John's come up with Mary Queen of Blocks. That's quite good. That would be a plumbing job.
I look for Mary Queen Plumbers and Mary Queen.
Well, that doesn't really work the way
a
she
lot
actually
of it came up. Mary,
the way they saw her off blocks is probably not a word she'd want to use. Really, she had to put her head on one too soon. Probably not. Anyway,
no, it's all right.
Billy
Bragg. Yeah. Yes, the life and works of the English singer and activist known as the Bard of Barking.
Yeah,
and not William Bragg, senior recruiter, extreme events and insurance, or William Bragg, plumber in the Greater Chicago area.
Okay, well, it's lovely. That you put the hours in on this.
I do, really, yeah.
So is that it?
That's it for this week.
So every week, Andy, you choose a specialist subject.
Yes.
Many have been sport. You've tried cricket. You've tried football.
Yeah.
In recent weeks, you've been struggling to find a new one. You've got quite
foody.
William
the Pooh, I did patisserie. That was quite successful.
Yeah, I just felt it. Pasta. Different pasta shapes. It was all getting a bit desperate, really.
Well,
so
that's my career, really.
You said to me this... career?
Yeah.
You said to me this morning... I've got a new specialist subject for today, and we played a little bit of music, and it is the Korean girl band Stacey.
Yeah.
Very much in the news. We were discussing them yesterday
because
they turned up at Ibrox having mistakenly worn vintage sort of Coyster-era Rangers shirts whilst performing at a Texas Rangers baseball game.
It can happen.
The management clearly got confused.
I know.
So, but they turned up at Ibrox. They've made lots of friends there. So, and we imagine there'll be lots of Korean girl band fans popping over to Ibrox to see games. But you've decided... You didn't know that was Stacey, did you, that we were just playing? So that doesn't bode well for the next 10 questions.
It doesn't really.
Are you ready?
I'll do my best.
Have you done a little bit of homework on
them? I've tried to do a bit of homework. It's one of those subjects that doesn't... about sport or cricket, it all goes in. If I read about Stacey, it doesn't tend to imprint itself
let's
on
find
my
out.
Mind.
Yes, let's give you 10 questions on the popular Korean girl band Stacey. Your time starts now.
Okay.
What does the name Stacey stand for?
Stay as young...
No.
Nice.
Okay, now I have to stop you. It's star to a young culture.
Oh, dear.
You were doing a slogan for the NHS there. What was the name of the band before they rebranded to Stacey?
Something like Up and Coming or something.
No, they're called High Up Girls.
I knew Up was in there, yeah.
Can you name all six members of Stacey?
Soomin.
Yeah.
Jay.
Yeah.
Yoon. Yoon.
Yeah.
Seun and Seun.
Yeah, but there's one you're missing.
Oh, really?
You might take one of these out with your local financial advisor. ISA.
Oh, ISA.
Yeah, oh, sorry.
Oh, ISA.
Sorry, Andy.
Sorry,
I
ISA.
I don't know if she's got an ISA. If you're listening, ISA. I'm so sorry, ISA. Yeah, Stacey. Well, they are Rangers fans. They might be tuning in for us to have a pop at Celtic today after last night. What was Seun known for before she joined Stacey?
She was an actress. She was in things like The Good Wife.
Oh, well done, Andy. You got one right. Who's been the producer and songwriter for the band since its inception?
I can't remember. Pass.
Black Eyed Pilsian.
Oh, I should have.
I can get a bit
like,
black.
It was like Black Eyed Peas.
I can get
remembered.
A bit.
I was trying to do
Black Eyed after a few Pilsians as well.
Things.
okay. Which of their songs has been the most popular, both by chart position and sales?
Oh, I think the one we just heard.
Now, that was ASAP we played there.
Oh, really? Was
it wasn't that one, no.
No, sorry, pass.
Teddy Bear, unlucky. What is the name of Stacey's most recent EP released? The listeners are at home. Honestly, Bob and Arbroath in his lorry up by Scotch Corner, shouting out all the answers. What's the matter with you, Andy? What's the name of Stacey's most recent EP released in August of this year and containing the song Bubble?
It's something like the phrase, like, stay as young as you are.
No, it's not. It's Teen Fresh.
Oh, right.
Which EP was Stacey's... Should we bother with the rest? Which EP was Stacey's first to chart at number one when it was released in February 2022? The younglove.com. The group... Before the Stacey complete this out there, I feel I should go through it. The group embarked on their first ever world tour last month. Which venue did they play in New York?
Carnegie Hall.
No, it was the King's Theatre, Brooklyn. Who'd know that? Apart from the road manager. And the music video to Stereotype... I'll start it till I finish. The music video to Stereotype is their most popular on YouTube. How many views has it had? Just have a punt. That's how popular they are, these girls.
A billion.
75 million. That wasn't bad, though. Andy, you scored one. Well done. Yes. Seun was an actress who was in The Good Wife.
I'll do better on the general knowledge.
Yeah, you didn't pass on it. I'd like to think you will. So there we are, an utter disaster there for Andy, attempting to go
young.
I'll
do Rumpole next week.
We're delighted to say that the legendary author, Jilly Cooper, will be joining us in the studio shortly. Her new book, Tackle, is set in the world of football. We'll find out why she turned her attention to football.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
A few years ago, myself and Andy saw a little diary piece in a paper that Jilly Cooper, the legendary author, had turned her attention to the world of football and was about to. Well, the book is on our desk. It's called Tackle. If you want to score, you've got to be a player. If you love Jilly Cooper's books, you'll certainly love this. And we're delighted to say she's joined us in the studio. Jilly, lovely to see you.
Very excited to be here.
Thank you for coming in.
Talk
sport, I mean. Yes. Well, you are a football fan, aren't you? You're a Manchester City fan, but you do go and watch Forest Green now and again. They're your local team. Have you always been a football fan? Or?
Well, no. When I was on a local newspaper when I was 18, I used to cover sort of everything because we did sort of, the police and the firemen, and I used to go to Brentford.
Oh, right. So you'd be doing match reports? Brentford games back in the day?
Oh, Brentford, how could you? I remember writing.
Pub on every corner of the old ground.
Griffin Park. It was. That's probably why everybody wanted to go and cover it, I would imagine, in Fleet Street in those days. So I read that it was a lunch with Sir Alex Ferguson that inspired you to write about the world of football. What did he tell you? Did he think it was going to be a kind of rich seam of material for you?
No, he was just lovely, and I was always impressed by him because I always thought he was very attractive looking, but I always thought he'd be a bit frightening. But he was charming, and I got a bit pissed. And we just giggled and giggled and giggled all the way through lunch. And then he was just really, really nice. And I just thought, well, why not?
Okay. So, I mean, the sort of gestation period has been fairly long. So you do a lot of research on your books, I do.
I'm very slow. I mean, most people. I mean, football writers, I would say, football writers are so brilliant, aren't they? I really think the standard of football writing is amazing. But I take 15 drafts of everything.
Right.
I'm so slow and stupid.
And so a lot of background research into the world of football to do something like this, yeah. Wow.
And what's interesting about this book, and I don't know how you keep track of them, you've got a lovely glossary of all the characters, a little pen pictures, like almost like a football programme. It's fantastic. But I counted them up. There's 92 characters.
I know.
How do you keep those going in your head? You've got a chart, like a sort of murderous...
Very complicated, Andy, because... you know, when I wrote about show jumping, I mean, or polo, there's only four people in a team. Mm. I mean, there's 33 players or every football side, isn't there?
Yeah, and you've got all the background staff and all the teams and the boardroom and stuff. Yes. But the good news is for fans of your book that your hero war / anti-hero, Rupert Campbell Black, is front and centre of this book, isn't he? Once again, he's bought a football club
and he can't bear football. He only bought it because his daughter goes out with a black boy for ages for been going out with a black footballer called Ferrell Jackson, and so he and his wife has cancer, Rupert, so he's very sad, and his daughter wants to come back and look after her, and so she says, "Daddy, why don't you buy a team over England so Ferrell can play in England?" And so he buys this team, but he thinks football is very silly because he says group sex every time anybody scores a goal. They do wrap themselves around each other.
They do, really. He's the handsomest man in England. I don't know how you quantify that. It'd be quite difficult for an actor to play that.
Yeah, well, hopefully there will be a spin-off. We'll come on to that in a moment.
They do skip around like ballerinas. Rupert thought they skipped around like ballerinas beforehand, and they do a bit, don't they?
He's a great enduring character of yours. He's an Olympic equestrian, isn't he? Gold medalist. And he's been sort of front and centre of your books. Is he based on anybody in particular?
Well, he was... when I moved to the country, middle-class Jill went to live in Gloucestershire. And I met some rather sort of glamorous men out there, the Earl of Suffolk and Berkshire, and Andrew Parker Bowles, and a man called Andrew... Rupert Lycett Green. And they were sort of based for them, but they didn't do any of those naughty things.
No,
but they were sort of funny and
an amalgam of all those sort of guys. Yeah. So what's your process these days, Jilly? You say you do 15 drafts. I understand you're still working on the typewriter. You've not moved on to
Monica.
It's called Monica.
Monica, and she's a manual typewriter, and I have a bit of two bits of ribbon, and one has a pen. One has a pair of scissors. It's hopeless. I'd love to learn to do... I mean, can you type?
Oh, yeah, not particularly well, I mean, I'm old enough to make that transition.
You use a word processor, I'm sure people have told you this.
It's much the same.
I was intrigued to read that your son-in-law works for the FA.
He works for the LMA.
LMA, not FA. Yeah, I beg your pardon, but involved in football.
Was he a help? Did he give you a bit of insight?
He introduced me to Howard Wilkinson, and he introduced me to Gareth Southgate.
Oh, right.
And lots of people like that. So he was very, very wonderful. And when I ring him up, I get stuck. I say, what's that? What's offside?
I love some of the language, words you don't really hear. Timber West is described as ravishing.
Yes.
It's quite unusual to hear a woman described as ravishing these days.
It's nice. I mean, you're much younger than me, but I mean, you must know a few people called ravishing. Yeah.
We did love some of the names, and we loved the name of the team, Searston Rovers. Mm. I mean, we've been asking the listeners today to come up with fictional but believable football team names. And it's hard, isn't it? I don't know how many you rejected before you got to that. Is Searston a place, or is it...
No, you just made it up.
Right.
Really?
You made it up.
Incredible.
What's your team?
I'm a Tottenham fan.
Oh, I love Tottenham.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. And he's a Chelsea fan.
Yeah, so aren't you in love with Son?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, he's fantastic.
He's sweet, isn't he? He's always smiling.
Yeah. Your favourite is Phil Foden, isn't it? You're a big fan of Phil Foden.
I like him very much.
Have you got to meet any of the City players? Or?
No, I know another man called David Clayton. I hope he's going to take me to David Clayton. He's the sort of press officer up there, so he's going to, I think, introduce me to them. I met Stephen Gerrard and I met Kenny Dalglish, but I haven't met that many of them.
So by meeting a lot, was that helpful in the process of writing this, just sort of being around some of those football players? We're suggesting that they're involved in any of the stuff that's in the book.
I hope they were some of it. I mean, they have quite fun in the book.
Yeah. It's very much in your. It is very much in your style. If people love your work, they're going to love this because it is a football book. But it's set in football. But it's very much a Jilly Cooper book.
But also, what is very conceited, but the racehorse named after me, called Jilly Cooper.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
And Jilly Cooper's won lots of races, and she ran at Lingfield yesterday.
A winner or not?
No, she didn't do at all well.
Do you always back her?
Yes, I do. Good. I do, but I was.
Do they have to ask permission, Jilly, to do that?
Well, they love somebody, Mark Johnson and his wife.
Ah, somebody you know, anyway.
Yes, but wasn't that lovely to have a name? Yeah. Wouldn't you like to have a racehorse name?
Yes.
Don't you?
Oh, yeah. What would you? I mean, are there other worlds that you'd like to write about? You've written about football now, equestrianism, and TV, of course. The new rivals.
Yes.
And stuff.
I want to write about Sparta.
Sparta.
Mm.
Okay. In
Sparta Prague.
No, not Sparta Prague.
Because there's a team called Spartan, isn't there?
There is still, there's a Spartan, and there is a Sparta, but yes. they're in the Czech Republic. So
Sparta is in ancient Greece,
yes.
As I discovered. In ancient Greece, if you committed adultery in ancient Greece, particularly as a woman, you were practically killed or thrown out of the country or punished and never talked to again. But in Sparta, it was allowed. Is that interesting?
Ah.
Well, there you go.
And so I thought I'd, find out a bit more about that.
So, will that be like first historical novel? That would
No. I've got a couple, a group of people going to Sparta for a holiday.
Ah.
Two rather naughty men like you two. They have a competition to see who can commit the most adultery. So in Sparta, it's only a thought.
There is some football things. You talk about like fixture congestion, and you deal with a few sort of football matters and injuries, don't you? So
but it's a wonderful game, isn't it?
Mm.
Oh yeah.
And it cheers people up, and the world's very alert.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
It can make you very miserable as well, as I discovered on Monday evening. So, yeah, so do you get to Forest Green very often? Do you go to
We're very excited because Wrexham are coming to play them.
Oh, yes.
I've got a box there, so I'm going to take some people to go and see it, because I think Wrexham are wonderful, don't you?
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. It's been a great story. Yeah,
Have you interviewed them?
They've not. No, we've not. We've spoken a lot about the documentary.
We've spoken to the chairman, haven't we, Humphrey?
Yeah, that's right. We've spoken to the chairman of the club, who you may get to meet at the game, who's in TV over in the States. But Rivals, one of your earlier books, has been made for TV, isn't it? It's coming out fairly soon. Got a great cast, hasn't it?
I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Oh, that's right.
Equity must love it, though, really, because they've got so many characters, so many actors.
The point is that what I will say, I've seen The Rushes, and it's just absolutely brilliant.
Okay. Really, because there was a TV adaptation years ago, wasn't there?
The Riders.
Yeah, on Riders that was, yeah. Well, you weren't you weren't massively happy with that then quite as much.
Well, no, but the thing is, it was Rupert, you know my character Rupert, I mean, he's a tough sort of creature. They were filming, can you imagine, in Hyde Park, they had all the jumps up in Hyde Park.
Oh, wow.
I went along the first day, and they said to me, oh, come and meet Rupert. So I rushed forward, and this ravishing-looking man came towards me. Called Marcus Beale. And so I said, gosh, you're very good looking, God, wonderful, I'm so pleased you're playing Rupert. Oh, very gracious of you, he said. That's no good.
No,
I'm very gracious.
Oh, dear. I think Danny Dyer is in.
Oh, yes, he's lovely.
You can have a good football chat because he's a big West Ham fan. So if you go along on.
Oh, I will, that's a good idea.
Yeah, go and have when all the premieres come.
Where are they, West Ham, now?
They're doing
pretty well. They won a European trophy last year.
A couple of poor results, but I'm sure you'll be plenty of football chat there. So, is the book's out now, Gilly, I take it. It's available. And it's for football and non-football fans.
Yeah, I think it'll be a success.
And it's got a lot of dogs in it.
Oh, okay.
A lot of nice dogs and a lot of nice horses. And a lot of nice people, I hope. I hope it's a happy story, because I hope it's about true love.
Well, they tend to be, don't they? Yeah. Your stories, you know, there's triumph over tragedy, but they tend to have a happy ending, don't they? I think that's what that's what your readership want, isn't it, really? So
I'd love to meet Daffodil Clark Rogers.
Well, oh, yeah.
Why didn't you bring her in with you? Daffodil Clark Rogers. Fantastic, yeah. It's beautiful.
Oh, yes, that was right. I loved that. I thought that was a very good joke about cat. Her jerseys, and she said, "Cashmere jerseys." And they said, "It's cashmere, cashmere." Said one of the other ways, "Cashmere." And she said, "No, it's cashmere, because they that cashmere jerseys cost more cash than ordinary jerseys."
She is a wag, isn't she?
She's a wag.
Daffodil Clark Rogers is of the wag fraternity. Well, Jenny, it's lovely to see you. Thank you so much for coming in.
Having me, I mean, it's such an achievement to be invited to talk sport.
Well, look, yeah, we were as soon as we heard you were writing about football, we wanted to get you in. So keep doing what you're doing. We wish you well with the book, and I'm sure people are casting it all in their heads.
Yeah. If you come to Gloucestershire, you come and see me.
We will pop in and see you. So well, we go down to Cheltenham every year, so we're not a million miles away. So for the racing, yeah,
yeah, lovely.
Do you ever go for the racing?
Okay, well, we'll see you at Cheltenham then. Lovely, yes. Cool. Pop along and see us.
Yes, it's lovely.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That's how it all unfolded this afternoon. I'll be back tomorrow with Charlie Baker. Andy, you'll join us for the Falls panel.
No, the,
not the Falls panel.
Birthday spread.
The birthday spread, that's it.
Yes.
So what are the gags like this
Pretty
week?
Good, yeah. I'm quietly confident.
Oh,
yeah.
Quietly confident. Beautiful. Okay. Well, we'll bring you that.
21 to choose from.
Oh, wow. Do you hone them down?
Well,
so you have
I
a
do.
Long list.
I have a long list.
Really?
That's
Clement long list.
I don't think I should even admit that.
No. So we get the gold, folks. Imagine what the other ones are like. Anyway, we'll see you tomorrow from 1. Do hope you can join us. If not, the podcast will be available at 4.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.